I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back when we were younger, you could talk to a girl and, you know, like say, hey, you want to go out or something? And you can maybe say it once or twice and you'd get the hint and you'd stop asking. But there is no way in hell anyone would ever consider calling you a creep. But now it's like automatically you feel like you can't even say, shit, do you want to go grab a coffee? Because people might think you're a creep or something. It's really weird.
Like Mike's pickup line is, shit, do you want to go get a coffee?
Well, yeah, I mean, have you ever, I don't know, like...
Have you ever, it sounds like around the twist or something.
Have you ever felt like this?
Well, you ever find yourself in a really weird situation? Like, I don't know, you're in an airplane and the airplane crashes and you're like, you both survive and you're like, oh shit, you want to go grab a coffee? It happens.
Shit, do you want to grab a coffee?
There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Lixie's a mother that licks the bunny.
Feral,
that's a feral's for ya.
Feral's,
don't mess with the feral's. The feral's, they're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Mike.
Oh, just Mike this time, just Mike. Mm-hmm. This is episode 13, True Romance. If you want to tweet to us at Feral's Podcast. On Facebook, search for us at Feral's Podcast. And our website is feralspodcast.com. There's a theme going there.
Please do so. We feel very unloved at the moment.
I know. No real likes apart from ones that we forced our loved ones and friends.
I get fan mail. I get fan mail.
You get fan mail.
Oh, yeah. I get stuff sent to me, presents.
Oh. What?
I'll need to have a Swinny fan mail segment.
Oh, yeah. From now on. I'll do, like, you know, they have the boxing videos on YouTube where they're unboxing stuff. I'll have a gift video where I unwrap all the stuff in audio form.
I have to say, if someone said 10 years ago that people will watch videos of other people opening products, I would never believe it.
Yeah,
I would
no
not
way.
Believe it.
It's amazing.
And yet,
you know what?
And yet, before I had heard of it, like, you know, when I was made aware of these videos maybe about 4 years ago. When someone told me about it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. So, like, what happened in the world or me in between those periods?
YouTube.
It's so weird.
YouTube happened.
But I still don't get them. Yeah, I don't get that, and I have to admit, I don't get... I mean, I get Twitch, but at the same time, I don't get Twitch. I don't get how people can just sit there watching other people play games.
Yeah, like, you say that, but have you actually done it?
Yeah, I've tried, man. I've tried.
Okay.
I can't.
Okay.
I just can't stand it. I'm like, what the? This is boring. Look, I'm sure there's channels out there that are good, that are entertaining, but they're so rare. Most of them are just boring as batshit. I'm just going to sit in front of my Xbox and talk lame things that aren't even funny. Kind of like what we do.
The best people to watch are people like speedrunners and stuff, because you can see them get frustrated that they keep screwing up their speedrun.
Yeah, maybe that's fine. They're rare, I think. Most of them are just average Joes with, you know, trying to make 50 cents a week worth of shitty podcasts.
But it's the same as YouTube. You know, Twitch is just a follow-on from YouTube in regards to just a mass of content. Anyway, we should probably talk about the ferals right about now, considering that this episode has a lot to talk about.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. This is potentially a long podcast, this one, so we should get onto it.
I'll just say, before we get into it,
Yep.
You guys don't even need to be here. With the notes I've got, I'll just fill 2 hours by myself. Okay. You guys can go. You're done.
I feel like talking much today anyway.
No, I'm not going to go there. Solo effort there. Solo effort. So this episode opens with Monty and McSee watching a romantic film. I thought it was a rom-com. They never really said the com part, but I feel like every romantic comedy is a romantic comedy.
It didn't sound like
every
a comedy. It sounded like a serious comedy. Yeah. Film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Romano and Juliana.
It was...
Yeah, exactly.
It was very disturbing listening to McSee get aroused by the video.
It was.
You know, like, the shed is all, just to set the scene, the shed is all decked out in floral gear and, it's like, pink. Love hearts and everything like that. My first note was, wow, because the opening of the episode and the noises, as you're saying, of Mixie and Moddy, but particularly Moddy, are just disturbing. I think I've actually, I'll line it up here. I'll show you.
Okay.
You'll show us.
Juliana. Why?
Well, this looks good.
I don't know how to say that.
How she longed to feel her secret boyfriend Romano's hand in
hers. Now, so much worse than you know, remember. When you just hear it.
You gotta remember, when you watch the episode, you can see the characters. When you just hear it, it's so disturbing.
It sounds a lot worse.
So I wrote, wow, and then my next line was, oh, face wow, of Moddy and Mixie. I don't think there's really much more to say in this part apart from that.
Well,
so,
she goes, her ears are getting all tingly.
Yeah, that's so borderline. That, like, within a few seconds, it's already borderline for kids.
The whole thing
it's
is, it doesn't make any sense for kids. I mean, how old
would, I really love.
What's the demographic of this show, you reckon? Like... 10?
Way,
oh,
11?
Actually I checked
less?
This.
Way below what,
I checked this.
Way below the content they're producing.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I only started playing with myself when I was, like, what, 12? I'm pretty sure this is above the target market. I'm just putting it out there. This is just...
bombshell.
Nope.
We might be breaching our... I might have to be inserting a warning at the start of the episode far out.
You should have like this function that just mutes my track for a little while.
Exactly.
And just play some music in the meantime. Like some sort of elevator or some sort of loading music.
Oh man.
And we're back.
Anyway, moving on. So then we have Radis barging into the shed. I love his hat. It's so awesome. From the side, it's like a little poker hat. Well, that's what I thought it was.
I didn't know what it was at first, and then I'm, okay, now I'll get it. They're playing
Well, I
cards.
Thought it was a poker hat from the start, so I think that's what it is, right? And what I loved from the start is that Radis is referring to Joe as Joseph. And yeah. I think this is an overarching thing in this whole episode. They seem to be like best buds now, apart from there's no loyalty or fairness in the relationship. But they seem to be really good friends now. It's very, like, weird, but I like the development.
They are, but they only actually see each other twice in this entire episode. So it's interesting that they talk about it, but they play cards once and then they see each other at the end. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. But that last scene is, like, they're super buddy-buddy, and we'll get to it when we get to it. But
at the end, probably, because it's the last scene.
Yeah. Yeah, funny that. So then we've got Robbie dusting and cleaning, and this is, I don't know about you guys, but this was massive friend zone.
Oh, yes. Ooh.
Like, Lenny was acting like a B-atch.
Kind of, but crazy. There was an element of, she kept on trying to tell him something, and he kept on, like, butting in.
True.
Saying, I wonder if something...
He was butthurt. He was like, oh, no, I'm getting out of here.
He was definitely butthurt. But I had some hope for the guy. I thought maybe she was preparing this for him. But then I kind of thought a little bit later, and I went, "Nah, it can't be for him. It's too obvious." And it can't
be. I really,
well,
for Joe,
it wouldn't be much of a surprise.
That's too obvious.
She's setting.
I really wish I kept that slow pour song a couple of episodes ago for this episode, because it would have been much more appropriate.
It would have been perfect for this episode. I think we just have to drag it out and play it again. But yeah, man, this was so friend zone territory. It's just insane. So yeah, Robbie's cleaning up the apartment, and Lenny's just like, oh, I gotta make way, and he leaves the apartment in a huff. And then, yeah, we go to Joseph, as I'm going to start calling him in my notes, Darren, Radis, they're all playing cards in the shed from memory. And then, like, it doesn't make any sense. What did I say? Like, seven aces or something like that?
Eight aces.
In the hand? Eight aces. It's just crazy. Joe's always, like, screwing these things up. And then I did notice that Raddus is wanting to bet when, like, they're talking about, oh, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. And Raddus is laughing. Oh, yeah, Moddy's never going to get any cards, like any Valentine's Day cards. He wanted to make a bet. I tell you, this show is seriously was a massive influence on me. It must be. Because I'm always, like, wanting to bet. I'm always wanting to construct bets.
I bet it was an influence on you.
I don't take notes on the bets, but you do. That tells you something.
It does.
Well, I'll say it like this. So, you know, I'm in this new workplace now. And I'm going to do some charity stuff. And then I'm like, that's unusual. A bit, like, boring for people. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a KPI. But
anyway, you're not betting on charity, are you?
No. I was talking to my partner about this.
Yeah, how's he doing?
I was saying that, hey, that's discriminatory right there.
Why? I'm just asking a legit question. Partner, how is he?
Move right. on.
But anyway. I was saying with the charity that what I should do is, because it's going to be a race, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should make it so that if I beat a certain time, that people have to double their money, and I was almost like trying to put a gambling element that people had to kind of guess the time, and they were sort of incentivized to get it correct.
Wait,
and she's just like...
You've been at this workplace for what, a week and a couple of days now?
About two now.
Is that right?
This is the third week.
Third week. And you're already betting on a race.
No, but then she said, I don't think that's a good idea, so I canned it.
So that's a shame.
The filter worked. So, yeah.
I think my...
the filter isn't... Your partner has to filter things for you?
Yeah, well, I say the ideas, and then I'd say 90% are rejected.
That's a good compliment, I think, someone like
90%.
And even the ones that get through, they're sometimes very questionable.
I was going to say, if we hear the 10% or at least 15% of 100% of your ideas that you come up with, my God,
well,
what's the rest of
the 10% are the obligatory, I can't reject everything because he's going to feel really bad. I got to let something pass through just to, you know, give the poor guy some self-esteem back.
I don't think she'd have any problem rejecting everything about him.
I think she does use that principle that Mike's talking about.
Oh, okay.
And these aren't the best of the best. These are just like the least worst of the worst.
Exactly.
Which is probably my dodgy ideas. Exactly. That aren't illegal. Or at least we know.
Don't include selling weapons to Russians. No illegal slave trading. That kind of stuff.
No using a digital duplicator to duplicate money.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in this scene, you know, Moddy loses her mind because Raddus is teasing her, saying she's not going to get any Valentine's Day cards. And she comes at him, which is pretty awesome. It looks really funny. You've got the whole, you know, Batman, the TV show, pow, kapow, all on the screen and everything like that. And then, Swinny, do you remember this? How Raddus looked after she'd knocked the table and crushed him?
He looked like roadkill.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was squashed.
And then I wrote, I don't know if you guys remember, but I wrote, she said, looks cute like that.
She did, yeah. She goes, like a wall hanging or a redskin rug.
He looks kind of cute, doesn't he? My and God.
Then, she's a psycho.
Mike, she said, I also wrote these things down. She wrote, yeah, she said, won't affect him, hit him on the head. Have you noticed the theme of getting hit on the head supposedly does nothing to you?
Yep.
But in this show's experience, so many times crazy things happen when people get hit on the head.
On this note, Mixie says, oh, like the time I got hit in the head.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, they referenced something from a past episode.
Now, is this the first time this has happened? This is what I want to know. Because I thought the same.
I think it is. And I put in my notes, continuity!
Finally, the continuity person's actually doing their job after, what, 13 episodes?
I tell you, we're gonna get that wrap up Arrested Development style end episode that's going to reference everything
I hope so.
Over the past...
Because can you imagine they had a board meeting and they go, look, guys, we're 13 episodes into this. nothing flows, nothing at all, like zero. What are you doing, continuity person? And they're just sitting there in the corner.
No, but see,
oh,
like, I don't know, man. Like, if we're watching this pretty carefully, I actually think Raddus.
Sorry, much more Joseph, carefully than probably anybody in history.
In the history of the world, really. We're really, you know, groundbreaking people right here. We're frontier men. Anyway, I think the relationship between Raddus and Joseph has developed over the last 13, including this now, 13 episodes.
It has.
I don't know. Like, so don't you think that's true?
They just go well together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they've had, like, their few plans in the last couple of episodes. But and now they're all buddy-buddy in this episode. Now, if they don't act like that from now on, that's one thing. But I think that, you know, we're seeing a bit of a character arc in a kids' show.
They're buddy-buddy. They have a weekly arrangement, according to Raddus.
I know. I love that line. That was an awesome line. As soon as he said that, I'm like, there's so many double entendres in this episode. I feel like I'm watching an episode of Are You Being Served? It's crazy.
All right, so what's next?
Yeah, so now we have... Yeah, so we have Moni and Mixie. They're annoying Robbie about her date. And saying how...
They don't care about Raddus is potentially dead. He wasn't even breathing in the scene.
I know. I haven't said this enough. She crushes him and... For me, I'm like, he's dead.
He looked dead.
He did look dead. Why did he move? Him? Was it a table?
Yeah.
It was a table. It was the table that they were playing cards on.
Hmm. And he definitely looked dead.
There is zero care for Moddy.
He looked worse than we've seen them look when they've done violence to each other in past episodes. He looked like he was dead.
Pretty sure she wants him dead.
Yeah. He looked worse
She made that pretty clear throughout the episode. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there was one part where she says, I want to hang him up on the wall as roadkill.
Yep.
Or as a rat skin.
A rat skin rug, yeah. She wanted the wall hanging or a rat skin rug.
But, yeah, so he's been blown up by a rocket. He's been dropped from a hot air balloon. We've seen him, you know, get... What was it? He had a potion, so he became like almost like a big blueberry ball that was going to explode.
Catapulted.
He's never looked so dead than in this scene. And Moddy was just like, oh, yeah, he's good like that. He looks cute like that.
And, Mixie, when they go see Robbie in this scene that you're talking about, they're just like, oh, Robbie's got a date. Oh, Robbie. Oh, that's right. Raddus is dead. Or could be dead. We don't know.
By the way.
Yeah. Well, they say he's pretending to be unconscious. Check for a pulse. It's like, how do they know he's unconscious? He looks dead. Surely they, like, I don't get the logic. It's so crazy. Also, like, really, like, I know I keep on harping on about this, but this is so messed up for kids. It's funny, but it's really kind of a dark funny. Because I think in TV shows like this, they do stuff like that, but it's kind of ridiculous. It's so farcical and fanciful and that, you know, the character's not dead.
There's something that happens later in the episode, which we'll get to, that's just, it's really, really dark, and it made me go, my God, this is a children's show.
I don't know what you're referring to, but yeah.
When I say dark, I mean, it's just the imagery is really, really bad. Anyway,
I'm sure we'll get to it. So now Moddy and Mixie return to the shed. And that's where we see Raddus, who's passed out, and then he starts to, you know, come to.
Well, before he comes to, he has the dream.
He's getting to the dream sequence. This is awesome. As soon as I saw this, I'm like, this is already, like, gone up a notch in my mind.
It hadn't even got into the sequence yet, and I typed yes. Because
it was coming. I can't even really remember the scene that well, but I think it was... That Raddus was like looking around and he's like, I've never realized, you know. And Moddy comes into the scene. I think she's wearing a wig from memory.
Yeah, some blonde curly wig, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the default thing. And, you know, he's like, I never realized, you know, Moddy, you're so beautiful. And then he wakes up and starts proclaiming his love for Moddy. I was like laughing out loud at this point. This was awesome.
I had to stop this episode so many times because I just kept laughing. And Harry goes, Muddy, you are so beautiful. And I kept thinking, you are so beautiful to me, Joe Cocker.
There's so many, like, the writing in this episode, to me, out of all of them so far, not to give away my rating, but for me, I think the writing in this episode was the best. Because, it was phenomenal. Pretty punchy, pretty tight. Like, it was very efficient. Like, all the way through the episode, there were, like, little things that they were dropping so to make you think things that ended up not being true. Mm. It was well really crafted. Good. Really
and
good.
Mike, do you remember how Radis described Moddy?
I love a cat with some spunk.
Yeah, I wrote that as well. Did we all write that?
I think so.
No, that was the later line.
That was later. Oh, that was later.
What
yeah.
else did he say?
It's in the same scene. He says, I love her fishy breath.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I love her chubby body. And no cat purrs like my sweetheart, Moddy.
But you know what's funny about this? I think it's actually a really cool reflection of how we deal with love in real life. In that he normally calls it fat and uses it as a put down and he hates it. Yet this time he completely turned it around and it's something he now loves. And it's like that, isn't it, in life?
Yeah, but he says
break
chubby.
Up with someone,
chubby is such...
Yeah, but I mean, like, you normally, you know, people have these little quirks in a relationship and there's certain things you like about them and then you break up with them and, like, quite often those things are things that start annoying you. And it's only because you're, you know, in love and infatuated that you actually think those things are cute in the first place.
I like how you came to that conclusion from this scene and I just thought he was a sleaze.
Oh, really?
No,
I didn't think he was a sleaze.
I did. He's like, I love your fishy breath. But it's like you should go sign up on FetLife or something.
But see, this is really interesting. I saw this image today on a certain website that I frequent about a guy who...
FetLife?
whose girlfriend...
This is going to have some warning,
came,
man.
No, this is fine. This is fine. It's all above board. His girlfriend
did
came
she
home
fishy
and
breath?
She complained to him about how this guy... I forget... what the context of where the guy was, whether it was like a work thing or something, but he basically asked her out and she's like, oh, no thanks. And then they spoke again later in the afternoon apparently, and she told him she had a boyfriend. That was it. That was that. And he didn't say anything else apparently. But she came home and she told her boyfriend, oh, this guy's such a creep. Like, this creep approached me, blah, blah, blah. And her boyfriend's reaction was actually, well, why is he a creep? Like, the guy only asked you a couple of times, actually once, whether, you know, you wanted to grab a coffee or something, and then you told him, no, I have a boyfriend, and he left you alone. Why is that considered to be creepy? And it's kind of like that. Like, I find that back when we were younger, you could talk to a girl and, you know, like, say, hey, you want to go out or something, and you can maybe say it once or twice, and you'd get the hint and you'd stop asking, but there was no way in hell anyone would ever consider calling you a creep. But now it's like, automatically, you feel like you can't even say, shit, do you want to go grab a coffee? Because people might think you're a creep or something. It's really weird.
I just like Mike's pickup line is, shit, do you want to go get a coffee?
Well, yeah, I mean, have you ever,
it sounded like around the twist or something.
Well, you ever find yourself in a really weird situation? Like, I don't know, you're in an airplane and the airplane crashes and you're like, you both survive and you're like, oh shit, you want to go grab a coffee? It happens.
Shit, do you want to go? Shit, do you want to grab a coffee? I gotta use this line. Oh no, I guess I'm already that day. Those days are over.
Those are gone.
In this scene,
well, no, just going back, Swinny. Like, I don't think he. For me, it was really weird. I don't think he was sleazy.
No, not
but
at all.
I think he was like a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I thought of it.
Sorry, that's what I was trying to explain. How do you guys distinguish between hopeless romantic and someone being creepy?
Like,
okay,
well,
I think sleaze is
are
like.
Are you talking about just in this scene? Because he gets really creepy.
Oh, he does. I don't find it creepy at all.
No,
I didn't think that either.
He's stalking her, opening the door and sniffing in a later episode. How is that?
I missed that part.
No, but I still think it was like he's trying to fight.
Yeah.
Look, I'll say it like this.
He's like, Marty. Marty. Where are you, Marty?
But that's because he was trying
how
to find where she was.
Creepy?
He was using his smelling senses, which is what rats
she's
do.
She's already knocked him back. And I know he's knocked out and he's loopy.
He's infatuated
poor rat.
He got knocked on the head.
He's stalking her.
No, okay. I'll say it like this. Creepy.
No.
No. I get the creepy part, right? Maybe, right? but not sleazy. I don't think he's being sleazy. Sleazy okay, to me okay, is right. a much more sexual kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he's being sexual. I think he's just sort of so infatuated with her and hopelessly in love with her for no all reason.
Right. I'll give you that. Creepy, yeah. not sleazy.
But creepy, yeah. Yes. I mean, he's a nutcase in it, right? And there's so many great lines. Like, honestly, all of his lines are basically gold. Because they're all, like, either rhymes or he just turns good. On characters. Yeah. Like a little bit later when he turns on Darren out of nowhere. Because Darren's like, oh, you know, stop joking around. He's like, shut up. I'm just like, it's mental. Absolutely mental.
Now, when this scene ended, did you catch the awesome transition?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, maybe not. No.
What it was it was after the I love a cat with some spunk line. is that basically there was like a slam down of the card transition. So where Joe's practicing cards. And it reminded me a lot of Guy Ritchie's kind of transitions in like Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. And a bit like Edgar Wright's in Shaun of the Dead and stuff like that. So I thought it was really cool. And it made me go, well, these guys, these little things you wouldn't expect in a children's TV show. And just watching it now,
that's like, pretty cool.
It's only because I'm having to look for it and I'm noticing it. So,
no, you're right. I just watched it then, and it is got that kind of element to it. I think, like, for, you know, imagine if we were working on the show, you'd want to infuse it with as much creativity as possible. I think that's like the awesome thing about people who work in these type of industries. Yeah.
Well, just because it's like actually it's a kid show, doesn't mean
be
you can't,
creative all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, for me, my creativity is like photoshopping heads of staff members onto like movie posters.
Wait, you did that and you're 3 weeks in? That's
I'll probably
good
do
start.
That tomorrow. because there's some Prezzo stuff. But anyway.
Oh, I just about 2 minutes before we went on the air, I photoshopped something onto Mike.
Ooh. Looking forward
yeah,
to this.
I don't think you've seen it yet.
No, I have seen it. It's good.
I haven't seen it, no. Where?
No, don't worry. It's not.
How did Luke see it and I didn't see it?
It's in our group conversation.
Yeah, it never comes up on my screen. That's the prop. What the?
Open your phone up when we're talking, and then we'll keep you silent.
Okay.
No, he's talking about WhatsApp.
Oh,
right. Hangouts.
Okay, yeah. I'll check later.
Okay, so on this scene, we see Joseph, as I call him now, counting cards. He's practicing his cheating, basically. Because he's, like, trying to pull, you know, aces out, and he doesn't understand how he lost against Raddus, which we didn't mention, or I didn't mention, which is poor form for me. And now Lenny comes in.
It doesn't really
in.
Factor into everything very much.
Well, yeah, it's certainly not one of the funnier things that happens in the episode. So then we have Lenny. Oh, sorry. We have Lenny coming in, and, you know, Lenny is the show-off. Lenny is, like, annoying now. He's starting to annoy me in the show. Because he comes in and shows something that's super useful all the time, or does something that's super useful, what people want to achieve, and then he just sort of, like, fobs it off or screws it up completely, like what happens in this episode. So he comes in, and Joe's needing to, like, figure out some magic tricks and stuff like that. Well, not magic tricks, but, like, some cheating. And Lenny's like, oh, here, this is how you do it. He's just, like, trying to show off. I don't know. He's really annoying me.
He's like Tesla. He doesn't know how to capitalize on his ideas.
Yeah. Did you catch what what Joe's proposition to teach him?
Yes. Go on.
Joe goes, okay, we didn't set up the Robbie.
He was avoiding Robbie.
Yeah, Lenny's like, okay, I'm going to stay out to midnight because he thinks Robbie's got a date. Okay. So Joe goes, you teach me that trick, you can live here. What? You can live here? Doesn't say you can stay here tonight. You can live here. Is that all it takes to convince Joe? Then why hasn't he let the feral? Well, I guess he has let the ferals live there, but now we know why.
Yeah, exactly. He gets easily fooled into it. Well, I want to say this because I didn't pick up on that. I think I got the scene.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. You see, Robbie wants me to scram tonight. She's got somebody coming over for a hot date.
Really?
Wonder who? Well, anyway, so I was thinking maybe I could come over here. And
Lenny, pal, you teach me that trick, and you can live here.
I didn't pick up on that. What
you can
idiot.
Live there.
He is the worst negotiator in history. It's amazing. Like in the first episode, going all the way back, oh, I want you out by the Saturday. It feels like the Saturday from like 5 years ago by the timeline in the show. It's amazing. Okay, we've established that Lenny at this stage is avoiding Robbie because he's jealous about this date. And then we transition into Moddy is now, as Swinny was saying, having to escape the love of Radis. And she looks like she's going to a funeral. I don't really, like, get the logic of all this stuff where she's in a disguise.
See, you say Radis, I say sexual harassment Radis.
That's good. I love that. No one gets that reference. It so annoys me whenever I sing it. Sexual harassment panda. That was so long ago, by the way, that episode of South Park. But
almost.
There's so many good lines. I don't know. Have you guys written down the lines?
We're watching a show from '94. That puts it in perspective.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that episode was like 2003. Sexual harassment panda.
Ah, okay.
You reckon? Well, like South Park's 1999.
I haven't seen a single episode after like series two or something.
Really? I'll say this: South Park for me is one of the most underrated shows.
Underrated, and I say it's that huge.
I say that fully understanding how popular it is. It is underrated. I actually starting to think it overall is a better show. It's basically for me, the best cartoon. I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
I'd probably say so,
and
yeah.
And I'm considering Simpsons and everything.
Yes, because it deals with many issues in society that people almost look at them at a superficial level, but if you really look at the episodes, it's holy shit, it's in depth.
Yeah, like Ben Aslick.
Yes.
Can I just say, you say that South Park is underrated? I say Cannibal the Musical is underrated.
Well, like so many things that they do, I find underrated. And now that they have the success of the Book of Mormon, I feel like a lot of people are reevaluating their work. Like Team America, I love Team America. I'm obsessed about that. That's super awesome. But anyway, moving on. Do you guys, Mike? Did you write down any of the lines that Radis said in this scene? I tried to start writing them down, and I'm like, I'm just writing the script out at this point.
Pretty much, no, I didn't.
You're expecting Mike to take notes?
No, I know.
Taking some notes.
I was trying to give him the floor.
Fat Modigliana.
That's not what
he does best.
He's off the cuff. He's firing from the hip. He's like Han Solo or Greedo, depending on your orientation.
Yeah.
Hey, hey. Go theatrical, man. Go theatrical. Han shoots first. Anyway, I've just selected a random part in this scene, and I'll press play. And I bet Radis is, like, on nuts, just reading out slam poetry, as I'm going to call it, even though that's very inaccurate.
I just love her meow. When she whacks me, it's pow. My life.
You missed the payoff.
Oh, okay.
It goes, my moddy.
Wow.
Because it rhymes.
Ah.
It goes, cow, meow,
wow.
Pow.
Yes,
wow.
It all rhymes.
That's very good.
Hey, did you guys ever write love poetry to someone?
I did.
I did too. Hmm.
Well, tell me about it.
No. I'd rather not.
Come on. Could you not just come up with something?
Why would you bring it up then?
I was just asking. I just didn't want to feel left alone, that's all.
I wrote a love poem. It actually won a competition in Year 10.
But I mean, like, yeah, to someone.
It was called... Yeah, it was called The Ballad of the Bearded Lady.
Yeah, but that was an awesome poem, by the way. It was really good. I still remember it. I don't remember the poem, but I remember of the poem. However, I mean, to actually, a poem,
the poem.
To someone.
Like, I don't remember the poem. I remember of the poem.
I don't know. I just don't remember the poem itself. I don't even know if John remembers itself. The poem. Do you remember?
Am I mishearing this? Is he saying the palm itself?
It sounds like he's saying palm.
Palm?
You know, it sounds so inappropriate.
If I listen back to this episode, because I'm going to hear his proper recording, it'll sound like we're idiots, but through Google Hangouts, it sounds like he's saying palm.
No, it's also because I'm eating. You're probably hearing it.
I don't remember the palm. It was a really good palm.
that sounds
the palm
so
was
wrong.
Excellent. First and only love. I wrote a poem to my
and
poem.
And who was it? Was it Mixie or Darren that was saying, does this mean you're going to get married?
I think it was that, Darren, I think.
Yeah, I don't like this. This is sending the wrong message to kids. What, some people love each other, so they should get married straight away? This is crazy.
No, but it sends the right message.
It's just like arranged marriage, you know?
Well, it is an arranged marriage. Yeah. It sends the right message. It sends a message, right? It's all about love, and you can have love between different races. That's what it sends it out. It's a very good
species.
Message.
Species.
They're not races. You know, a cat and a dog aren't different races of the same
animal. I
know that.
I'm just trying to find some sort of thing to equate it to.
Dog race.
Trying to make it a positive message, not a negative one. It's a kid show, all right?
I'm going
to
start saying that. That'd be awesome. I'll just say my race of dog is a Bichon Frise. Anyway.
You guys are a shitty little
dog. So in the next scene... In the next scene, we see Robbie talking to Joe. Do you remember this scene, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was, I believe, Mixie who comes up when she's on the phone.
I think it was Moddy, right?
Oh, it was a Moddy. All right, sorry. Yeah. Moddy on the phone.
Fail.
You know, yeah. I'm looking at my note. It says, Moddy in Robbie's apartment. It's right in front of me.
It was Moddy.
I have to say, I know it was Moddy. I write Mixie and Moddy interchangeably by accident every now and then and go back and fix it.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, nice little pun there.
So she overhears Robbie and Joe on the phone.
And Joe, which they very... I don't know if I found it, but...
Well, I'll see you tonight then, Joe.
I just love how delayed it was. See you tonight then, Joe.
I know, it was played for effect.
Now, kids don't get that. Kids don't get
sure
that.
Sure they do, because Joe's referred to a lot in these episodes.
They don't get what's going on here. They don't get that,
I don't know.
Oh, is it Joe, our Joseph, who is the love interest? Surely kids don't get that. I think some kids will pick up on it.
Yeah, because you don't just introduce another character called Joe. Like, every character in a show like this has a distinctive name. So I reckon a lot of kids would have gone, oh my god, it's Joe.
Well, like we've just explained with Moddy and Mixie that we always mix up.
That's because you two mix them up.
Well,
two out of the three people who've been watching it carefully. Okay.
To be fair, it's Medigliana, so when they say it full, it's clearer. Not that that's an easy name for a kid to
And then what's Mixie?
I'm pretty sure Joe and Joe is pretty hard to mix up.
Now, when Moddy overheard it, did you love the portrait in the drawing in the love heart?
No, I didn't see it.
There was a love heart drawing.
Oh,
it was like
a sketch of
Joe and Robbie, and it was done so well.
I missed that.
This was... Yeah, I've got it. I'll take a little screenshot for you. But what I don't get is, who did this drawing? Because all the other ones were absolute trash.
This was really good.
This was awesome. This was awesome. Because we've talked about it, I have to bloody put it in the show notes. But
you have to link it in the notes.
I hate when that happens. But this was really good, this one. I don't know what happened to all the other ones, because they were just the complete... Like, it was kind of funny that they were so bad, but yeah, this one was like really good.
Yeah, but the other ones didn't need to look like people, and I think that's the difference.
Well, do you know what I thought? I guess, actually... It's a good point that you brought this up, because it makes kids go, oh, is that what they're talking about?
Yeah,
I would have understood that as a kid.
What's that?
The picture's in the chat.
What are you doing?
No, I didn't.
He's filling in on another podcast.
Because nothing's coming through on my end. I get nothing. I get nothing.
You get nothing.
I get no pictures.
Nothing for you.
Oh, wait.
Did you hear that? Nothing comes through
my
end.
I'm clicking it. Things are loading.
Da, da, da.
What? You
Sorry,
Dropbox.
It's a Dropbox
sign.
Thing.
Oh, go away.
No, you just press
you don't
it.
Have
yeah,
to
that
sign
is pretty
up.
Good.
Just
it's like
it.
It's like that. What was that song where the entire song's drum?
Aha! That's what I was gonna say. That yeah, it's aha.
Yes.
Take that, isn't it?
It's exactly that kind of.
Is it that?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Oh, is it take on me? Not take that.
Take on me.
I'm pretty.
I don't know.
You know, people usually remember the song title, not the band. You actually remember the band, not the song title.
No, because that's a good trivia question.
Oh, so yeah, you'd really You'd really nail that question, Monkey Boy.
Are you sure it's not take that?
Okay, so
his take on me. I still believed it was take that.
Take that is that. I
hate to be the one to break tangents.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But back to it, boys. Shit.
Anyway. Okay. Whoa.
Whoa, jeez. Whoa. Mr. Mediator, look out.
Now combine that with your other comment. What was it? Nothing's coming out that end, but...
I'd mouth that.
I'd mouth that. Oh, I'm totally lost in my notes now. I was trying to write take that.
Back to the story. Do you guys remember why?
Sorry, take that is Robbie Williams.
Oh, okay. No, I searched for take that. Nothing came up.
Really? All right, let's move on.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Sorry. Right two times, man. I'm, like, on fire here. So now we have... what I did like here was that Moddy...
Yes. Do you have what she said?
Okay, you say it. Awkward much? Well, what did she say, Mike?
Do you have it? Is that what you were going to say?
Well, I don't know what you're really talking about.
I don't know. Am I talking about that?
So with it. I'm going to run with it.
Let's run with it.
Okay.
It's a part where Robbie she goes, "Oh, Robbie, I'm so happy for you. Very odd choice if you ask me, but love is blind." I thought that was pretty cool.
That wasn't it at all.
Oh, what were you going to say?
No, it's when she said this.
All right, bye.
I have to play the whole thing.
What are you doing?
Robbie, I'm so happy for you.
What?
Oh, very odd choice if you ask me, but love is blind.
Yeah, that is different.
It's not that bit.
Yeah, that's totally different to what
I
said.
It's the next bit.
It's exactly what I said.
No. It's the fact that she says this line. I'm not even going to play it, actually. That she says this line, you know, it would be just a secret between us and for everyone else to find out.
Ah, yes, that part.
Yeah. And then basically one of the next scenes, we see Moddy telling Mixie about how Robbie is going to date Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did you miss the whole Keith part?
No, I said that a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the immediate next scene is, Raddus is crying out.
Yeah,
Keith is up and hearing it. And, you know, obviously Keith is... Now, okay, this is if it's Keith... I just defer to you, Swinny.
Okay,
take the scene. Can I just say one thing? I wrote a note. Drop bear. Go. Take it forth.
This is the only scene.
It's your time to shine.
I didn't do the proper spoonerism. This is the only scene that Keith is in, and God, he makes use of it.
But that's okay. I can take Keith if it's a concentrated dose like this.
Oh, yeah, an injection of Keith. Raddus asked him, "Have you ever been in love, Keith?" Yeah, heaps and heaps of times. Why? and then he tells him that it's like Modigliano, and Keith just starts laughing at the same time that a kookaburra starts laughing. And he falls off the tree. Now, that's the drop bear reference. For anyone who doesn't know, drop bear is this this kind of Australian joke that came from Mad, blah, 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 whatever.
Joke? It's real.
What? It's not real.
Yeah, have you heard about this, Mike?
I know what drop bear is, but I don't think it's real.
It's real, man. Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Go into the Outback, man. Jeez. Anyway.
By the way, to our international listeners, there's koalas everywhere in Australia. Like, you can't walk out the door without a koala basically dropping on your head.
That's true.
I walk out the door everywhere. And I kick one 6 meters just from moving forward.
Yep.
No, you're right. They're everywhere, but there's only a small percentage that are drop bears. That's the key part that we need to remember.
Yes.
And 1% of those small percentage explode at will.
Correct. And they all have syphilis.
Spontaneously combust.
Okay. So
one of these facts are true.
When Keith falls, he lands in this brutal crunch, like he snaps his neck or something.
Yeah, I've got the image, and it's all amongst rocks.
Yeah, he falls and it's like crunch.
But it keeps going,
and he gets up and he just keeps laughing, and he pretty much it's probably not directly after, but he pretty much says, when it comes to girls, I'm the expert.
Yeah.
Man, I knew he was so a awesome.
Well, he was laughing at the Fat Modigliana part. That's why I kept laughing. Fat Modigliana.
Oh, you do a good Keith, man. You should awesome. Do all the Keith.
That's awesome. All right,
can
right.
you go? Right. Wait, can you say, come on, Kyle?
Come on, Kyles.
My voice lost.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, you gotta bleep that.
That's so awesome, Mike. It's honestly the funniest thing I've heard on this.
How's it taken like 13 episodes to find this out?
Oh, man. All right, can you... Wait, I'll play a bit and let's see how close you can get to impersonating him.
That was the crunch,
what's
by the way.
What's so funny? Oh, nothing. Madiguiana. Here you, Mike, I love you. Boy.
All right, try it, Mike.
No, I can't. I can't.
Oh, damn it.
He's got to snort as well.
It's got to be full improv out of nowhere.
That was awesome. Oh, man, that was amazing. Oh, there's okay, a show
can
intro
you,
right
can
there.
You, can you say a haiku using doing a Keith impression?
I'll, you guys keep talking. I'll try to find one.
Are you going to find one?
Just Google it. Keith Ferrell's haiku. I'm dying. All right.
You know, all right. We could put something up on our website and would probably get the number one SEO ranking for that particular search.
That's true. That's true. Awesome. I still don't even think we're the number one search for Ferrell's podcast.
We are. We actually are. I tested it.
Really? I'll just test it right now.
I think you have to use
no,
the
we're not. We're not.
Google, though.
We're not. If you just type Ferrell's podcast, we're number three now.
But if you do it with the quotes.
Yeah, of course, with the quotes. That's
pretty
funny.
All that counts.
Oh, man.
I only ever use the quotes.
Your song that, you know, has aired by now is... Oh, geez, when I think about it... Yeah, it's aired by now. It is on the front page if you type Ferrell's podcast. YouTube.
We put it up before the episode went live. So
I know.
People would see that and go, what the hell is going on?
Just seeding it. Just seeding
so Mike,
seeding it
Mike,
out there.
You found a haiku?
Yeah, you Googled it? Or did you have to Bing it? Or... Did you have to duck-duck-go it?
Bing it. He's dead. He's gone.
Wait, I think I've got him on the line. Just wait.
Easy. Now, when it comes to girls, Rat, I'm the expert. Now, lean in here and listen.
It's an amazing, amazing impression,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. Fantastic, wasn't it?
That was brilliant. What a haiku as well.
You know what? I never remember what a haiku is.
575?
It's 575. I like how Swinney says it confidently. Mike says it questioningly.
5 syllables here, 7 more syllables there. Are you happy now? Which was, by the way,
wait,
a haiku
is that
itself.
Was that a haiku?
It was, yes.
Was that a haiku?
It was.
Do it again.
5 syllables here, 7 more syllables there. Are you
wait,
happy
wait,
now?
5 syllables here.
Wait,
I'm like,
well,
I'm like a Wally. I'm like Wally.
7 more syllables there. Are you happy now? That was bad.
Is that Keith?
No, that was my voice going.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay, let's move on.
That always sounded like the Wicked Witch of the West or something.
Like, screwed up my voice. That's what it did.
Now you sound like Yoda.
Keith Yoda.
They kind of look similar, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Considering how good this episode is with material, we've barely
back
got
on track.
Through it all. So.
I know. This is terrible. This is going to take forever.
I think this episode's probably going to be a little extended, I think.
You know, we'd keep it mixed up, eh? Okay, so now we have Moddy telling Mixie about Robbie and Joe, which, you know, as I said, she would when I was jumping ahead. And, I mean, the only thing I noticed here was that Mixie was saying that Joe is yuck.
Yeah, which... I don't know. I thought for some reason Mixie would go for Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
I mean, listen, no homo, but I would go for Joe. And I've said this in a previous episode.
But Joe's not the same race as Mixie, so it's never
different
work.
Species. We've already gone through that.
No Jomo, I'd go
no
for
Jomo.
No Jomo.
He was a
which
guy.
Leads into, well, okay, yeah, I you know, we love to rate. What would you give Joe out of 10, Mike?
Oh, look, probably about an 8.5 or 9, maybe. I just think he's legitimately a good-looking guy. He really is, because he's a mix, right?
Oh my god,
he is, isn't he?
He's too legit to quit.
No, seriously, is he not a mix, right? Or is it like my really, really low quality 280, 240p, whatever the hell feed I'm watching? Or I'm not really seeing what he looks like. But he's right, he's right. He looks half Filipino, half like Caucasian. Isn't he?
Okay.
I've been watching the same show.
My stomach is killing me, man.
I'm hearing very different things to what you're actually saying.
He's half Filipino, half cocaine.
That's what I meant.
I did not say cocaine.
I love a little bit of Joe in the morning.
Sniff, sniff.
Oh, I've got tears in my eyes.
Okay.
Look, truth will come out in the actual episode, but oh my god, that's still worth it.
I'm not 100% certain, but I'm fairly certain I didn't say cocaine.
No, you didn't. But you said Caucasian very awkwardly.
I said Caucasian.
Caucasian.
Caucasian. Caucasian.
Wait, you're being an idiot right now, right?
Come on, I can't survive the rest of this episode.
I can't support my body anymore. My abs are killing me.
Exercise. It's my version of P90X.
P9X.
P9Sex. Jesus. 100 people here. Anything tonight? All right, can we move on for peanut sex and get back to the show?
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Oh, man.
We've got to start from the start. I can't finish.
Got to restart. Oh, my tears. They're going to wreck my mic. Okay. So, Mixie made the point that Joe's yuck. Mike rates him 8.5.
No, to a 9. To put that in the official rating. I'd say a good day, a 9.
Okay, Mike, Joe, 9 on a good day. All right. Jesus.
Is it weird that I've only ever rated all my exes an 8?
Shit. But Joe a 9. Anyway. So, Mixie then is checking out Joe, and she actually says, I suppose some people think he's a spunk.
Yeah, like Mike.
Yeah, right, so next to him. Yeah. He's standing right there, exactly. And he just looks at her. He's like, what is it? I can't remember what he says, but how does he not hear that?
Well,
it's true, actually. Yeah, he's like, she's right behind him. I've just got the scene. It's like, so he's going in. He's practicing his card trick.
I suppose someone could think he's a spunk.
What are you?
Okay. He's staring right at her when she's saying this. She's whispering it, but he's staring right at her.
But did she say weird. Joe? Did she? Maybe he's thinking he's just talking about someone else. Well, she didn't say his name.
If I could rewind this podcast itself, which I can't, unfortunately, I think you did say the names have to be distinctive.
No, but so I don't think remember she's talking if she about actually someone said else. Joe.
We just heard it.
No, I think it says, I suppose someone could think he's a spunk.
I suppose someone could think he's a spunk.
But I mean, she's staring right at him.
Kids show is logical.
Anyway.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So in this bit, we see that Mixie, given the info from Moddy, we're so off course, by the way. Mixie. All right, let's remember that Moddy has told Mixie that Robbie is having a date with Joe and not to tell anyone. So Mixie has the idea, I'll go over to Joe and tell Joe. Anyway, that's strange. And Joseph is very excited.
Oh, he's wrapped. Mm.
He's very excited.
I think I'm gonna have to make a sequel to Slowpaw about Joe.
Well, he obviously likes it. There's a bit where it's sort of like he does this vroom, or I don't know.
He goes to when Lydia arrives. He's like, make stuff at home.
Yeah, can you give me the liberty? We're only like halfway through the episode. Can you give me the liberty of trying to play it? Because I've wrote it down.
Yeah,
I tried to.
No,
I tried to write it.
This episode is so worth it. It's like.
All right, here. I think it's this bit.
Don't say anything. I think it's supposed to be a surprise.
Oh, it is. It is. So that's why she's getting Lenny out of the way. Look, I gotta go.
All right, it's coming up.
Joe, got my special pass. You ready? You gotta rush, Lenny. Make yourself at home.
I wrote vroom, but yeah, like, I think it's more zoom. Like zoom.
Yeah, you got had a Z.
Yeah, it's a literal
wording of an action that's normally written down. It's weird.
Yeah, it's called onomatopoeia. Huh.
Whoa. The cunning linguist comes out.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Shut up. It was funny when I was 12, still funny now.
when you were playing with yourself?
Give or take a couple of
they
years.
They do this a lot in... Oh, God.
Give or take a couple of years. Wow, this is getting worse. Okay.
Take a couple of years.
Emphasis on this.
Well, oh, my God. Anyway, so Morty is now pretending to be Russian. She's trying to be... pretending to be a Russian... I don't remember. Exchange student or...
No, immigrant.
Russian immigrant.
That's the one. I'm a Russian immigrant. It's so racist, yeah, this whole bit.
She... And...
That is what Russian immigrants talk like.
Guitar.
mate. Okay, just replace Russian immigrant with Chinese immigrant, and then replay this whole scene. No way you'd say that's flies. You'd say it's racist straight away.
I wouldn't, because that's what people who don't speak English that just migrated somewhere actually talk like.
Okay, so this is dangerous.
It's for comical purposes.
They'll all speak like that.
So okay, if Modi was a Chinese immigrant, how would she sound? How would she sound?
Oh, Do not do an impression.
Let me put it this way. Look, let me tell you something. Huh? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, but that's Russian. That's like, it's cool to be Russian, right?
What? It's not about being cool or not. It's not for comical effect. That's what my dad actually talks like.
But what I'm saying is, if it was Chinese, it'd be, you know, off color, right?
But maybe then it's racism. It's racism 90s. When it's acceptable to make a joke about one race, but not a joke about another race.
That's because
one race has been abused for thousands of years, and other races have ruled for thousands of years. So there's kind of a reason. But anyway,
thousands of years? What are you talking about?
Anyway, we've got a lot.
We never get
a history lesson.
This topic could get very dangerous.
It's true. Yeah,
can we just explore?
I know that we're going way off course.
All right, monkey boy.
I just want to say on that, I did go way off course at work today. I was like arguing about gay parental rights with someone. Okay. I'm like, this is not the conversation you should be having at work with work people.
Anyway. In your third week.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Especially conservative work
people.
So,
monkey boy, do you have the glorious scene that happened once Radis busted open the door and saw the Russian Modi?
I've got it lined up.
Yes. Can you please play it?
Okay.
There.
Oh, no!
So, wait, I'm going to set this up a little bit.
Oh, that sounded really sinister, like...
I gotta just set up for the visual effect. She's wearing this neon pink wig.
Lady Gaga wig, almost.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was gonna dig that out, but I got lazy. It's exactly like a Lady Gaga wig.
It's gonna be more of the chick from the first element.
It's like four syllables. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, Lady.
No, actually, it reminds me of Natalie Portman in that film where she wears that wig.
In Leon the Professional.
Yes.
No, it's not Leon the Professional.
Sorry, close.
That
up,
is a
close.
Creepy confusion right
no,
there. So.
Yeah, no. It's
or
because she has a similar hair.
Closer.
No, sorry.
Is it closer or closer?
She had a similar haircut, and obviously she was much
so
different.
So creepy.
Age, but that's what
yeah.
I got.
One, she was 12 years old.
And the other, she plays
the
stripper.
The other, she plays a stripper. Common
the one where she's
there.
A stripper. That's what I'm talking about. The one where she's 12. God, oh, she's 12 and like a stripper
creepy.
In that film. I don't remember the film.
Anyway, to distract
I have
you both,
something
I'm going to play
that topic.
I'm going to play the scene.
About,
I'm going to play the
wait,
scene.
Wait. I have something about that topic later on, okay? I hope you guys came to the same
that topic. That's all. Okay. Okay, I'm going to play this.
Who are you? I'm a poor refugee. Just arrived from Russia.
Russia, right?
I am Tetiana Bushimova, Russian Balaka. And I want to be alone.
Count Dracula.
Without love songs, my little Russian paprika.
Oh.
I'm well always love you. I will always love you.
I was scared when he
so
busted
much
that out.
Love song idea.
That was awesome.
Okay,
yeah, thanks, Keith.
Here's a question for you guys. What would you rather listen to? That or Modigliana singing?
Oh, that. Dude.
Really?
Dude.
Is it because
God.
It was short?
Dude, the Modigliana singing was horrible. Are you serious?
This was pretty bad.
No. The Modigliana singing was way
yeah,
worse,
I don't
man.
Know. I think they're both equally bad.
I think if this was extended for like 30 seconds when you added up all the Modiglianas, I think this would probably be more ear-piercing.
No, but I think the Modigliana stuff was annoying again because the song was just so annoying. It was grating. Whereas, there's no real song here.
It's just Whitney Houston.
It's Whitney Houston.
No, what I'm saying is, there's no backing music and stuff like that.
Yeah, there
that.
Was. Oh, was, okay. okay. Let's call it a guitar.
Yeah, it was
ding, 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 ding. Hey, what was Moddy's name? Tatiana what?
Tatiana
No, I'm pretty sure she pronounced it Tatiana.
No, I thought it was just pushover.
Yeah, it was Tatiana
no,
pushover.
No, I think it was Tatiana pushover.
Wait, play it again. I thought it was Tatiana.
Oh, she said she's something a cat. Okay.
She's something a cat? What do you mean?
No, she said something
play it again,
cat
play it again.
From somewhere or something.
Hey, Russia, right?
I am Tatiana Pushimova.
It's Tatiana Pushimova.
Tatiana Pushimova.
Oh, you cut it off. I was about to say something cat.
Sorry. I thought that was pretty good to get it to that point. Here.
From Russia.
Okay, here we go.
Russia, right?
I am Tatiana Pushimova, Russian Balakat. And I want to be alone.
Russian Balakat. Car.
What
Balakar.
Is that?
I don't get it.
I thought it was like something. Anyway, it's not funny.
But it's no, funny because it's Tatiana. It's like there's almost an emphasis on Tatiana.
I think you're reading into it. So you're saying you'd prefer this, Winnie.
Treat me and you think you're so handsome. No, that's not it.
I
surely
would prefer
not.
That.
I would prefer that yeah. versus
it's
what?
More like
if it was extended the same amount of time.
Same. Like if I was in Guantanamo Bay and they went through all the waterboarding and all that other stuff and it came down to this, I'd pick that.
No, this song got
sorry,
in my
you
head.
Get to choose options when you're in
maybe
Guantanamo.
I don't know, maybe they're like the torture menu or something, I don't know. But if there was
I think
that's what I'd pick.
Torture menu.
It's a choose your own adventure.
Okay, surely this song got in my head in a really negative way. You remember this?
God. It's horrible,
I hated
it. But...
It's bearable.
It's not, I will always love you!
The singer of the band. Okay, let's get on with it. So, what the hell is paprika? Because that's not Russian.
No, it's a spice. I use it in most of my cooking, actually.
But it's not a Russian spice.
No. It's just, it's ground.
I just thought that was really lazy. Far out. But there's so many famous Russian desserts. I don't understand why they didn't say it.
Do we know the etymology?
Let's find out. I never knew that stuff.
Okay, maybe
it's
I'm
probably,
wrong.
It probably does have a Russian origin.
Prika.
You know what? I guarantee it would have an Indian origin, but all right, let's see.
No, the name might actually
peppers,
be Russian name.
Native to the New
you
World.
Never know. Anyway, while Mike's researching that, this next scene was one of my favorites.
This is the bit with... It's Hungarian paprika.
Yes, okay. The plant that made the Hungarian version of the spice was grown from 19 blah, 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 blah.
But I like how it took me 2 seconds to find it and Mike was still...
I'm reading the full details. I want people to know the full history of paprika.
Okay. Hungarian, Russia, what's the difference? Let's move
on. All right. So you take this bit over, Swinney, since it's your one of your favorites.
Okay, so it comes to shows Mixie and Darren.
Mm.
Darren's walking with a sledgehammer. Now, my initial thought was they're going to go whack Radis in the head to try to reverse it.
Yeah, same.
But no, his idea is to walk up behind Moddy, who's talking with Kylie, and just mash the back of her head with the sledgehammer. And she doesn't get knocked out. She's
yeah,
just like,
I know.
Ow.
I noticed that. Well, I suppose that. There's no logic
well,
in
no,
the show.
Well, no, there is, because there's always multiple ways of solving a problem that would still technically solve the problem.
And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, trying to make you fall in love with Radis. Mm-hmm. And Kylie goes, oh, that's sick.
I know, I love that.
That was actually, other than something we'll get onto later, so I'll bring it up then, that's probably the best line she's had.
But hang on, she meant...
Yeah, she's probably the worst character. Like, if we were to take a straw poll right now, I'd say she's the worst. Just off the top of my head, quickly.
And they clarify, Darren's like, well, Kylie's not a feral. She's so... Ugh.
Yes, I wrote that as well.
Okay, like...
And it made...
But,
it made the point that you made earlier that, you know, they're all feral, like feral animals, a lot clearer for me. Because he didn't, like, the way he said it, she isn't feral, or she isn't a feral, so...
Mm.
Well, Mike was arguing that it seems like they're part of the ferals, and this shoots him down.
Yeah, shoots him
down. Yeah, take done. That, boy.
Take that, it's
you're
for
Mike.
You.
No. You're Mike, by the way.
No.
He's like trying to gang up on another character that's not there.
But what was Darren saying? What was Darren saying? He's like, she's so, and then cut him off.
Yeah. I think I got it.
Does Darren really hate her?
In fact, I'm moving out to the sheet, and with my friend Paul, to get away from all of you.
You can't do that.
Kylie's not a feral, and she's so.
Don't tell me.
What was he going to say? She's so.
No, I think that's what he said. He's like, Did you guys ever watch the Ronnie Johns half hour show?
Love it.
Was it Prairie Dog Hands? Prairie Dog Hands.
Yeah. Cutting myself. There's a couple of like characters and scenes in that I think stand up against anything that Australian comedians have put out. And one of them is the exchange between an emo and another emo.
That was brilliant.
Which very much fit in with hipsters.
Yes.
It's so appropriate today. And this was like 10 years ago when they put this
that
together.
That was genius.
And there is a scene where, you know, one of the characters goes, and it's just like, and that's what it reminded me of.
I thought you were going to make like some bigger connection there.
No. Be disappointed.
People should look this up. It's really good. It's an awesome show in that segment.
You just want to
really
advertise
good.
Ronnie John's half hour show. Hey, so.
Oh, that we could definitely do a podcast about that. the other thing that I thought that this is another case where they believe smacking someone on the head solves problems. I guess solves problems essentially is what he's trying to do.
Well, it solved the problem with me
it
liking
seems to
my
be
dad.
Running.
Okay. We'll take that as a comment.
It seems to be a running theme in the show where in order to fix things, you need to hit people in the head.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very safe thing. I do wonder if, like, head injuries increased in the year that this was broadcast in Australia amongst children. Did you guys notice the random Billy Ray Cyrus sledge? Well, not really sledge, but the reference in this episode?
I did not.
I think it's his song, isn't it? This bit here.
Oh, we've got to try something else, Max.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like the way things used to be.
But if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, might blow up and kill this rat.
Sniff, sniff.
That's better
Poor
singing.
Rat.
That's better singing.
That was better.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
Anyway. What do you mean, thank you? You can't compare two completely different things to a third completely different thing.
What are you talking about?
Like you can't compare a yellow fruit to an orange fruit.
Damn right you can't. It's like comparing unicorns with RSA ketones. You know,
with leprechauns.
Those yellow fruits that you meet that your mother used to make soup from, remember?
Yeah,
the
banana. Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah, hey, I remember that. Don't mock my mum. There was good soup.
I just like it goes, yeah, bananas.
I'm hungry.
Oh, Lord.
This is where Joe goes to have dinner with Robbie, thinking he's got a hot date.
And I just described it as Joe's attire to the date with Robbie. That's the title of my little subsection here.
And I have coat of awesomeness.
Yeah, it's so awesome. But why did I write this? Have I? Now I remember. God, I take terrible notes.
I'm glad that you know what you typed from Have I.
Yeah, I do. So from Have I, it's when he walks in, he's talking about the candlelit dinners, and then Robbie's like, oh, you've had a few, have you? And he's like, have I? I love it. This is him on a date. Like, he's like an absolute asshole.
But she was... Although, obviously, she was increasingly getting annoyed in this episode, but mate, Robbie was not nice in this episode.
I'll paste what I wrote. Robbie is a biatch.
Ooh. Oh. Like... She was completely against character in this episode.
She was evil, man. She was so evil. Poor Joe, he's just going in there with his Sunday best. And she's like, oh, you thought I'm having a date with you? And then he's like, he does his laugh. Yes. You know, his trademark laugh.
Play it.
But I wrote, defensive laugh. It was like a bit sadder.
Defensive.
I actually felt sorry for the guy. I really did.
I think I might have it. Let's see.
Of course not.
I like it. I just chime in randomly with audio from the show.
I don't think we're ever going to get through this episode. So
yeah, I know. It's a big one.
They're making a spell.
Yeah.
To fix Radis.
I got really thrown off in this bit, actually, because it sort of just dives into it. They're already sort of halfway through the process. And I was a bit like, what the hell's going on? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm dumb.
They keep talking about fixing him. Now, you know what that reminded me of?
What?
Praying the gay away. People that think they need to fix people's feelings by... Obviously, we know that Radis is not normally like this, but... Yeah, but
I don't think you can equate someone getting hit on the head for someone
who he shouldn't. Let's fix him. And Lenny goes... It'll fix him all right, one way or another. Here's an interesting question, John.
You previously said that he was creepy, implying that it's a negative thing. Do you believe he needs to be fixed or not?
Well,
I don't think that's what he's drawing out.
I don't really have an answer. Mm-hmm. His actions are creepy. Mm-hmm. His feelings may be... legitimate.
His feelings aren't creepy, but the way he goes about expressing those feelings is creepy.
Yeah, like chasing after her.
Correct, but how do you fix the problem when the problem is the fact that he's infatuated?
I like the emphasis on the sniffing.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Because they try everything in this episode and he still keeps coming on. She even did the hard push on him, like the reverse psychology. This is a little later, but it still led him on. He's like, oh, yeah, great, awesome. Anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah, I know. This is that whole scene. I've got a million notes on that bit. That's the last bit of the movie. The movie feels like an hour and 30 minutes.
It's actually, I know.
This is like already, what is it?
It's a blockbuster.
It's like 2.5 times longer than the episode it runs now. And we're not even in the big
scene.
It's
like Titanic length already.
I've got us down as 15 minutes into the episode so far. And it's like 10 minutes to go.
So Radis has his heart broken and Moddy comes up to him thinking she's got to have another strategy, right?
Yep.
Now the strategy, we know there's some potion involved. But so she comes up, she starts coming on to him, like, oh...
Can you just pause for a second? I didn't get that there was this two-pronged strategy until like right at the end.
Well, they said it. They said I was they writing have notes. To get him to drink the potion. And how are they going to get them to drink the potion? She needs to go and convince him to do it because he will listen to anything she says.
That's why she went. I'd missed that bit. So I was super confused until the end where I worked it out.
Look,
but I didn't work it out. They told me.
She's like, spunk rat.
Yeah, I wrote that as well. Spunk rat, and I wrote, your place or mine.
Yeah, your place or mine. Yeah,
but then he goes, we both live in the shed.
Not appropriate for kids.
Yeah, I know, yeah, right. We both live in the shed.
I guess that's convenient, isn't it?
That was one of the best written lines in the
episode. Hey, baby, your place or mine. Yeah. We're married and we live together.
Oh, yeah.
He gives her his jacket. What the hell?
It's romantic.
Don't you get that? No, that's from the American style thing that in high school you give the girl that you like the jacket because it's got the school logo and they're usually the quarterback or one of the football team players.
Okay,
property type thing.
Right.
I don't know if Australian kids, especially in the 90s, would have any idea about that.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, you guys didn't either.
Yeah,
so.
No, I didn't. To me, you give, you know, if you're on a date or something, it's like, oh, she's cold, I'll give her my jacket. It's like, I was going to say, it's a chauvinistic thing to do.
Are you warm now?
That's all I was going to say.
Well, I guess you're unconscious, so you can't feel the cold.
They're freezing to death, and you're like, I'm not going to give you my coat because I'm a modern man.
That's right. You get your own coat.
The word I meant was,
I believe in feminism because you get your own coat.
The word I was going to say is that it was like a chivalrous, not chauvinistic, because very different meanings.
Yes, ever so slightly.
Yeah, true. I didn't even pick you up on that. I knew what you meant. Yeah, you know what? On that topic, I remember I was going into work. This is a long time ago, 5 years ago. I was going into work with this senior manager. He's a good guy, really nice guy, and he's ultra chivalrous. Like he has to do things like that. And
is this a guy that used to play pool with and he used to whip it out in the
car? It actually is amazingly. I don't know how you picked that up.
Oh my god.
Because,
and he's chivalrous?
Because can you not see the connection between a guy who's super nice and does all these lovely things and someone taking his penis and putting it on a pool table? Like it's so obvious. Same guy. Duh.
Okay, so this guy, what happened was this lady was about to walk into the door, and this was at like a very professional workplace. He skipped ahead. He skipped ahead and opened the door.
He literally skipped ahead. Like skipped.
He made an effort to get in front of her to open the door for her.
He bowls her over and then opens the door.
Very politely, right? And then she said, "What are you doing? You don't need to do that. I can open the door myself." And he replied, "Okay, see Hunt."
Oh, really?
I was like, shit.
That is not a good way to handle that situation.
By either party.
Correct.
Well, yeah, but I think he took it a step too far in that
response.
This
is like the situation where you're on the bus and like this woman comes in and you go, "Would you like to take the seat?" Thinking that she's pregnant, but it turns out she's just
Would
fat.
You like to take the seat?
And then she gets pissed off at you.
You have to leave the seat, Mike. You have to stand up, not, you know.
Is that how you do it? Please. I like to share, okay?
Yeah, and then
I
say,
share.
Shit, do you want a coffee?
I say that after. Well, you don't want to sit down? Well, shit, do you want a coffee?
All right, so anyway. The next scene is Lenny and Joe spying on Robbie.
This, for me, could have been a massively good scene. I feel like they could have got rid of the Kylie scene and expanded on this, the whole them spying on Robbie's day. Yeah. I thought that would have been awesome.
My favorite thing is that Joe's spying on, and although he's kind of looking, it looks like he's looking like really far away, and I thought they were pretty close.
I know. He's got almost like... He's got binoculars, but it makes me feel like it's a telescope for some reason.
Yeah, and he's looking at it. Then Lenny comes, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, cool, let's spy."
But what?
Let's spy on Robbie. I was expecting him to go like, "Oh, what are you doing?"
Why did Lenny...
I feel like it's like they've stumbled on some sick thing, and they're both like loving it. They're like, yeah, that's a great idea.
There's an unwritten, understanding between those two.
So I think this is the first point in the show that they're both kind of acknowledged, without words, that they like Robbie.
Yes.
I think so.
Hmm. And all I wrote and was this, Lenny this reveals his hand.
Yeah, this episode was definitely where Lenny outright pretty much acted like he liked Robbie.
Yeah.
Because the other episodes, we inferred a hell of a lot about Lenny.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, we want to make this interesting and whatnot. But this episode, he's got it in for her. And so is Robbie, obviously. But sorry, is Robbie. So is Joe.
Or he wants it. Anyway, I was going to say a very inappropriate line there.
Well, let's be realistic here, right? They're in uni. They live together. Robbie's pretty attractive. Pretty sure Lenny's not gay.
How about Lenny? What would you rate Lenny?
He's cute.
Sure Lenny's not gay. What would you give him out of 10?
I don't know.
No, wait. Before he gives this rating, let me say, what would you give him out of 10 in this scene? And what would you give him out of 10 with his hair slicked back in the following scene? When he's...
Well, what would you give him at his best throughout the whole show? You know, he's been a magician. He's been a game show host.
This is the interesting part. There's hot and cute. And he falls more into the cute bucket. Like, he's not hot.
So what would he get it?
But he's kind of cute at the same time. So I don't know, like...
I like how, Monkey Boy, you don't even bother asking me because you know what my response will be. But you know you'll get Sonny out of Mike.
I haven't got the number yet
like
from Mike.
Maybe 8?
For Lenny. 8?
Yeah, he's actually
10.
Right.
Wow,
like,
and
I don't think...
What did you say Robbie
he
was?
He was 9. No, not Robbie. Robbie's like... It's because, goddammit, Robbie's
the same scale? Is it the same scale for Lenny and Joe?
No, no, I'd say Robbie.
Because if it is, she has to be above an 8. She has to be above an 8.
You don't know. That's judgmental, man. That's judgmental. Maybe he doesn't think like that.
I'll probably give her a 9.5.
So what is Robbie?
Yeah.
Okay, just above Joe.
Yes. And I'm being objective. I'm being objective
on a good day.
I just think they're fairly attractive people, objectively speaking.
And then I've got all X's 8 out of 10.
Yeah, hopefully certain exes aren't listening to this.
Well, I looked at the listener stats.
I'm just going to go lock my door.
I don't know.
Do you rate anybody below an 8?
I know. It's even
no,
episodes
not really.
Are
I mean, like,
eight.
Your mom's a 9, so...
No.
I remember you telling me that one day you decided to... stand in the spot in the city and see
if
you would rate a 10 out of 10. And you were like, oh,
no, they weren't.
Me.
They actually weren't.
Have you changed your taste?
I was curious.
Wait,
have your standards... to see, like...
Wait. Have your standards dropped? Now, that's not a knock... Sorry, that's not
like
a knock
Joe.
On Joe. That's not a knock on Joe, Robbie, or Lenny at all, right?
Yeah.
But... if you're saying that you saw nobody that was like a 10, and you're rating everybody 8
let me,
and a 9.
If I may, refer to...
Wait. Can I just ask? Didn't you have a clicker, and you were clicking, like, if you saw 10s go past? You had, like, a counter?
I may have tried to keep a counter once. Anyway, I remember this,
because I'm like, that's like the dumbest way
why
to do
it.
I remember talking
it?
To you about this, because I said you have to have
I
2.
I did have 2.
You have to click
I
every...
I had 2.
Oh, so you clicked every woman you saw, and then you clicked with the 10s. Ah.
He
do you remember the stat?
By the way, totally not creepy, in case anyone's wondering.
What was the average percentage?
I remember it was really low. It was fairly low.
Well, like what? 10?
No,
20?
It was way less than that. It was
1?
Like in
3?
Low
5?
Single digits, yeah.
So 1 in 10.
But I was being fairly...
Were you wearing those...
I would only kind of just click things that I... like, women that I would find really, really attractive. And I think at one stage I had to do it with guys as well. Well, dude, if you're going to do science of some sort...
Wait.
Kind of
were you wearing those glasses? Huh? Were you wearing those glasses that Homer Simpson was wearing in the episode of Simpsons when he's in the courtroom and it looks like he's awake
because
he's got
exactly.
eyes on the front
I keep
of the glasses?
Straight.
I love that. And then they take the glasses off and there's another pair on him.
Can I just refer back to a certain trip we took once overseas? Mm. Certain members of this podcast were involved.
Mm.
Whereby, yes. By about the sixth or seventh day, certain grandmas that may or may not have been 90 years plus were becoming tens. So, the analogy is, when you're single for a long time, yes, your standards kind of change.
I'm not laughing because I'm waiting for the explanation, because obviously I know the explanation, so. Which is the fact that being on holiday meant that, how can I say this, keeping it clean? Is it all certain
daily tasks?
Some frustrating level of of something.
Let's
building.
Just say, like, let's say normally, you know, you drink a couple glasses of water a day, right? Maybe one in the morning before you go to work. Jesus. Maybe one when you come back. You know,
maybe
on the weekends you have three or
maybe
four.
Maybe one at work.
Just putting it out there.
Oh my god!
And let's say you go on a holiday, and before for whatever reason they don't have water, so you don't drink water for like a week.
You don't have water because you're sharing the room with other people who can't
That's
also
right,
drink
because
water.
You don't want to, you know, so share water or drink water together, because it's a little weird when you're like drinking water together. I mean, I suppose you could secretly sneak a glass into the bathroom or wait until the other guy's outside, you know, doing something else, but.
Or maybe wait till he falls asleep and steal his
You
glass
could, and
of
then
water.
Spill water all over his face. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so anyway, it's clean, long story
so they're
short,
spying, they're spying.
People, no, I was going to say, so people that he would normally rate like a 1 and 2 were like
pretty much, yes. Yeah.
The clicker was there going. Okay.
All right, so the big scene.
Okay, so for me, just to be clear, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't realize that it was a whole scam for Moddy to, you know, pretend to like Raddus so that they can slip him the potion. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the table moving, I just thought it was Joe and Lenny underneath the table.
Whereas, I did actually think it was Joe and Lenny first.
Oh, okay.
They're like, oh, we could look at this, or we could do something.
Yeah, we could.
And then it cuts to that. Yeah.
So what it actually is that Raddus is trying to steal the candlelit dinner table so that he could have a date with Moddy, because that's what Moddy wants.
Pretends
and then he
to
has
want.
This sad walk. Moddy pretending. Yeah, yeah, good point. I like his little sad walk when he's heading towards the door. He's just, you know, sadly, you know, walking down there and says to Robbie, "You're destroying two young lives. You know that." I like that.
Now, we talk about how Robbie was a real biatch in
this episode. Massive.
When Robbie's like, "Oh, would you believe?" Robbie's like, "Nope." As soon as it cuts him off.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Doesn't even listen to it, just kicks him out.
So, okay, this is getting to the final scene, which was a massive scene, by the way. It, like, just looking at it now at really the timing, bad. It goes for, like, 7 minutes, which is crazy for,
right.
like, a TV
we can
show
do
like
this. Let's go. We can get through it.
So, it opens up to us finding out that the date is her uncle. Named Joseph or whatever. Yeah, and he's super old. Yeah, he's got a very German name. I don't know what the timing of this episode was. But anyway.
I think it was well after like 1945.
Okay. Yeah, but if he's young. But so, you know, her date, quote unquote, is her uncle. I do not buy this crap. I do not buy it.
Weird.
She looks... It's really weird. She looks smitten by him.
It's super creepy.
Wait,
man.
Are you implying
it's
that it's
so
not
creepy?
Her uncle? It's just a.
Okay. Joe's like, you're so. Sorry. He goes, you're so grown up. But I imagine him going, you're so grown up.
God, you guys are.
It wasn't
I didn't
like
think
that
at
but
all.
In my head, that's how
I'm like, hey,
it.
It's Uncle
Mate,
Joe.
Look at how she's
Sweet,
dressed.
I haven't seen him for like 10 years. Yes.
Really?
Just really, like the creepiest guy in the podcast doesn't actually make that connection.
Okay. Maybe this makes a difference. I'll just play the little bit at the start because we can't see it. We can't see how she's dressed and what he looks like. Just hear how they sound.
Robbie!
Uncle, just saw you!
Joe, remember?
Oh.
Please cut the ankle, makes me feel old.
Sorry, I forgot. Come in.
Robbie, nice place.
Thanks.
You're so grown up.
And I used to be this tall, right? It's been a long time since you've seen me.
Okay, it doesn't creepy sound creepy at all. Creepy when you
no, no, as I said, no, as I said, I imagine him saying that because she looked smitten, like her face. And
well, she was 10
dressed,
years.
She was all dressed up for him.
So I just watched it then, and she actually looked in the mirror and, like, did her hair just before opening the door. That's why there was a little bit of a gap at the side.
But
that's so weird.
It is weird, but, like, have you never had your mom over for dinner and you're like, you know, I should probably check if my hair's okay?
Not checking myself out.
Okay. She hasn't seen this uncle or whatever for how long, and she's got a candlelit dinner for him.
Yeah, I know. And she's dressed up in a dress and everything. Come on, man.
She's got flowers. Who puts together flowers?
And why is he bringing flowers to her? That's weird. If I had a niece that I was visiting, why would I be bringing her flowers? That's freaking weird.
Chocolate, alcohol,
flowers.
Flowers are perfect.
You know what?
Probably, yeah, some wine, man. That makes a lot more sense.
And then I'd eat them.
This is a ruse. This is a ruse. She's wanting sugar.
Oh yeah. I like her professor assigned.
Yeah, true.
And you guys are saying
so. All I wrote was WTF. I write WTF, and then I write, who has a romantic dinner with their uncle? And then I wrote, super creepy territory now.
Yeah, what did you guys call? Because obviously when in this next part, Joe comes in, Joe, you know.
Yeah. I just call the guy uncle.
Giuseppe,
I called him
was
old
it?
Joe.
Well...
No, it's Josiah or something.
Josiah. I know. What kind of... Anyway, I don't want to insult names.
That's a real name. I had to look it up.
Josiah's
real
name.
Really?
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. It sounds a little bit BS, but I saw this chick's name today. Her name's F-L-O-N-A.
F-L-O-N-A.
And I thought...
Flona.
I thought...
Flona?
I thought it was an I. You know how sometimes I's, if you type it, capitalize.
Fiona.
It looks exactly like an L. I checked the system. No, her name isn't Fiona, it's Flona.
Huh.
I've never heard that name. So weird, right?
Is it a foreign name? Flona. Let me Google that. Flona.
Okay, anyway. So...
Okay.
Now, the cunning plan that Joseph and Lenny have is to rock up as waiters. How is that sneaky? I don't get that. What was their plan?
That's totally going to work if Robbie answered the door.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I still don't get it.
I love that old Joe, or Uncle Joe, he opens the door. He's like, oh, whatever. I can't remember what it was. It was a really weird sound effect as well. And they're like, oh, we're the waiters for the dinner party. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, it's a normal occurrence to hire waiters for a two-person dinner. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Not like... Waiters? What?
Okay. And just like a bigger, like maybe a context point here. So Australia at this point in time, we're in a recession, right? And Australia's economy is not like the economy of today where it's booming. Like, you know, trying to be like a little, you know, top 20 nation. We were like pretty rubbish back then. Like, you know, a bit of backwater territory almost. There's zero chance anyone would have waiters. And then... Like, I can't even make it lower than zero, obviously.
But hang on.
They're uni students.
But
why have they got waiters? It makes no sense.
I mean, remember again, a certain country we went to on a holiday? There's a there's a lot of waiters and personal butlers. And
sorry, we've said the word shit enough
true.
In this podcast.
Shit. We're just going to say shit is okay to say.
So in the certain place we went to, a lot, they actually have a lot of butlers and stuff. Even our friend, a certain close friend that we have.
You didn't use shit anyway.
But the point is that that's actually a nation that is predominantly in poverty. So there's no correlation between
But they lived in, they've got a big divide over there, and they lived in a gated community. So
there's another point here. As we've known, every sort of Western nation, even if it hasn't been a rich Western nation, has always had high wages. So you can't have waiters and stuff like that.
So you actually have almost less in a rich nation. It's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. But we're so off track, man. This is crazy. This might be the first two-hour podcast. So I like the line that, as I called him, Uncle, and as I later called him, Old Codger, but uncle, uncle, where he goes, dude, I wrote it. I tried to write it down as accurately as possible, even though I could play it right now. Do you chaps do a lot of waiting? He asks Joe. And Joe responds, us? Yeah, we wait and wait all over town. What the hell? I love that line. It's so weird. He's just always wanting, he's so like bubbly and always wanting to like impress people.
Now, Robbie, when she sees them.
Yep.
Not happy, Jan.
I think there's a couple lines of, there's a couple lines of dialogue, and I think Joe eventually says, would Madame like me to serve? And Robbie's reply was, no, Madame would like to wring your neck.
No, what a bitch.
Ooh la la.
Okay, not that only is this a children's TV show, right? This is the nicest character on the show.
Yeah,
typically,
but...
Saying that she's going to wring his neck.
Yeah, some...
Typically, like, I know Mixie and Darren, but Robbie has generally always been portrayed as the nicest character, just...
Some of the
troll,
nicest girls
right?
I've had the pleasure of being with. Ooh. Lots of neck grabbing, tell you that. And other things.
I don't think this was meant in a sensual way.
I'm just saying.
She was like, I'm going to wring your neck.
Meet some interesting people.
And then Radis rocks up.
But did you notice that this is... So this is what like I wanted to draw your attention to earlier, that... We all know now that Lenny, it's now obvious, he's pretty much said it, that he's into Robbie. But that Robbie in this scene is, like, wanting to tell Lenny. And she's like, oh, I wanted to tell you.
Oh, so do you reckon that? But hang on a minute.
I interpreted it as so she can string him along.
Well, I think so, if you actually were legitimately interested in the guy, and it was Valentine's Day... Why would you invite your uncle, i.e. sugar daddy, uncle, whatever?
Sorry, I was just going to say, that reminded me. This was on Valentine's Day. That makes it even worse. I forgot about that. This is her uncle.
Supposed
people
uncle.
People like dinner on Valentine's Day. What the hell?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It doesn't, like, Mike is wrong. It is weird. It's creepy. I wish I had the sound effect.
I didn't find it creepy at all. I thought it was weird that a good-looking girl like her...
Would you do this? Would you do this, like, if you're an uncle?
So I've got all these bad jokes in my head that I cannot say.
Okay.
I think Mike's dead.
Mike's here.
He's going nuts. So this is the part where Radis and Moddy now crash the dinner. I didn't mention that Radis asked... Robbie, if he can crash the dinner, and she said no, and then he just did it anyway.
Because Moddy kind of got him by the balls a bit, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
He introduced himself.
Yeah, okay, go, yes. Okay. I got so excited. Okay. Go.
He's like, this is my girlfriend, Moddy. Now, okay, girlfriend on a first date, that's
creepy.
That's a little creepy.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, you know.
But no, I was saying how
he
introduced himself.
Is he
going
to say, I love you by the end of dinner?
I think he's already said that a few times.
Yeah, don't you do that always?
Oh, yeah, he has actually said that.
That's the standard line, don't you get it? Yeah, do you want to take my seat? No, I'll continue sitting. And then it's, shit, do you want a coffee? And then it's like, I love you.
Totally.
That's the process.
Honestly,
it's foolproof.
I should do this. I should walk around and just randomly... Like, try 100 different people and just say, shit, do you want to grab a coffee?
Okay. If you do and record it, I will dedicate a bonus episode just to that.
Can you please, if you get a good reaction from the shit, do you want to grab a coffee?
Shit, let's... Where were you going? Shit, let's what?
Sorry, what is it? Sorry,
oh, shit, do you want to grab a coffee?
Whatever, right?
What is Swinny thinking? Right, shit, right. Let's get it on.
No. Can you follow it up with, I'd mouth that?
I'd mouth that.
Sorry, that might actually get you arrested. So maybe
don't do that. Don't do that, especially to an undercover cop. I got excited about was that he called himself Radis P. Radis. I love when he calls himself Radis P. Radis.
Yes.
It syncs up well with the little reference. I don't know if you guys heard it. The Mario Brothers style sounds.
When?
There was two times in this episode.
How could I miss that? I got the Doom one.
There's a lot of
Did you notice that, Swinny?
I noticed a lot of weird sound effects going on. Well,
okay, I'll play this. See if you can. Maybe I'm just reading into it, but I think it's this bit here. This bit.
Yes. Yeah.
That's seriously like Mario Brothers, right? It's crazy.
That's from World 1-2 or whatever. What was it? The Underground.
So we have.
I was just going to say, did you like the line Motti's like, nice weather we've been having? And Raddus goes, divine, my darling. And he's like, he's right next to her like a close talker.
He's infatuated.
I don't know if you guys. I don't know if you guys remember, we had actually one of our good friends. He was actually known to be a close talker. And it's a little weird. No, I'm not going to name that.
Mike goes, who?
And I'm not talking about you. No, he was a good guy, but he just had a penchant for talking a bit too close to you. And he was like in her face. Like he was about to like,
and this guy wasn't European.
You're obsessed about the sniffing part.
He was European.
There you go. That makes sense then.
You don't get what? It does over in Europe where people are a lot closer, like they
literally and figuratively.
Like, I'm glad.
The whole personal space thing, at least when I grew up, wasn't really an issue. People didn't really. It's like it's cool.
They just say,
let's make
out. Do you want the coffee?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like business meeting. You want to make out? And this is like two dudes. Because they're
American.
Like, I think the logic went something along the lines of, hey, since we're already here and we're talking so close, might as well make out.
I like it. Like, yo, Biot, you want to get a coffee and we'll go down to the east side?
Oh, yeah.
I just like how you said that. It's an American in Europe who's shit. Do you want to make out? Awesome. we have Lenny groveling to Robbie, which is disgusting. And then we have Darren and Mixie coming in as waiters. So for me, I was so confused about the waiter thing. I didn't get it. So I just write, I'm still
confused.
Why did they
need to be there to deliver the potion. That's right.
Oh, so you didn't understand it either.
Sorry. I forgot why they needed to be there in this scene. Then I write,
their plan was to poison Raddus. I see.
Poison.
Well, what do you call it then? Poison.
Okay, so
give him something that he doesn't want
to
eat.
We forgot to mention this. They're like, we don't have many of the ingredients, so we'll just add Joe's aftershave in. Now, I'm pretty certain most aftershave is going to be pretty toxic to swallow.
Exactly. They're just throwing anything they can find. They're going to throw mercury in there. You can't eat mercury.
An eye of newt.
And I like how they just raid Joe's stuff.
Yeah. And they go,
he's their bitch, seriously.
And then they said, I couldn't find any mercury in the bathroom, in Joe's bathroom. And I'm like, who keeps mercury? What are they talking about?
I'm pretty sure people stopped doing that in 1940.
Spain and, anyway.
Now, I'm trying to think, why was Raddus squished? So he gets squished in this scene. I just wrote Raddus squished again, but it's because they're fighting over the potion,
yes.
Right?
And then the table gets
because Darren's about to give it. And classically, he explains the plan. He's the stupid character that always explains the plan just before they're about to initiate it.
It's good, consistent character work.
It's true. Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are happening in the show that they're just, it's like standard these days, like getting hit in the head. And then Lenny coming up to save the day with some potion or invention that he's created.
Yeah.
So
Raddus gets squished, not as bad as the other one, but it still looked pretty bad.
It looked bad, but do you remember any of the lines that he said, Swinny, when he awoke?
Mm.
I just remember he called old Joe Grandpa.
No, he said worse. He woke up.
I know, he said,
and
he goes,
said who's this old codger?
I just remember that line because I liked it.
First thing
I
he said, I loved
he
it.
He did call him old codger.
But I love what I like that. Motti said. She goes, Fatso, has anyone heard more beautiful words?
That's true. I did so like relieved. That. I did like that.
And then
so that was
Darren just drinks the potion.
Exactly. I know. It's almost like the rest of it. I couldn't even be bothered writing about it. Because Raddus is now cured.
That's a great line, though.
Well, Raddus is cured.
Cured is a funny word, isn't it?
Well, he didn't act like that before, so
yeah, but
he's back to the way he was.
They prayed the
See, but from his perspective, he probably would have had the time of his life.
Now, what's the line that you're referring to, Swinny?
Okay, so Darren drinks the potion and bang, he's in love with Moddy now, right?
Yeah.
So he goes up to her and he rests his head on her shoulder, like, really close.
That's what the potion does. Mm,
brings people together.
Yeah, he goes, "You remind me of my favorite blanket, all fluffy and soft, and you smell like it too."
Yeah, yeah.
I just love he says, like, my favorite blanket, because, oh, it's just...
And
good line, though.
I don't know why I wrote this. I wrote, "Lenny palms it off by saying that." what does that refer to?
I don't know. Okay. But it finishes up with a football game in the show.
Well, just before you go on to that, the one thing I forgot to mention was Radis and Joseph, like, the being best mates now, that Joe flicked a snack into Radis's mouth.
He did. That was a full-on, like, throw thing, wasn't it?
Okay, I know, and was that... That was not planned, surely. That felt like that was very spontaneous in the show.
I imagine it was just one of those little improv things they catched on the film. So
then I had Darren's rhyming again while they're watching the footy match. Did you write down what the rhyme was? It was something about peanut butter or something, right?
Yeah, something about that. But I like that Mixie is complaining about the
footy,
the football.
Yeah,
and she's like, "This is not romantic. Is there any hugging and kissing?" And Radis goes, "Only if they score a goal," which I thought was really funny because they actually follow it up and they go, "Oh, there is hugging and kissing," Radis goes, "Goal." But Darren's wearing an open shirt like Fabio.
I didn't notice that. Awesome.
Yeah, like an open white shirt. And I believe he had looked like a black... I don't know if it was his normal color. It looked like he was wearing more like Don Juan. But he had...
Don Juan.
Yeah, no, but I'm pretty sure... Didn't Fabio have, like, famous for that open shirt?
I'm just looking at it now. That's awesome.
Well, he was. So, like, that was more of a Don Juan. If you watch... You know, you've seen Don Juan with Johnny Depp, yeah?
I do not know what you're talking about.
Google Don...
I basically avoid any Johnny Depp movie made after 2005.
He's like a famous Casanova. It's exactly that. I reckon it's more that.
Damn you, John. Okay.
I will link you people.
Okay. Good.
I know the movie, Mike.
Okay. So, that wraps up the episode in a very small, tight package, just like how Mike would like it. But is there anything that we missed? I know that we went over a hell of a lot.
Right at the end, Lenny and Joe are cleaning the dishes.
I'm guessing
because they feel bad for screwing Robbie's night up. Yep. Who the hell cleans dishes like that?
Like what? I didn't see.
I know,
Did you see what they were doing?
It's so acting. It's like so. I don't know. It's like they're in a theater.
Okay.
The way they're doing it.
Joe holds a plate up. Lenny, without looking, starts washing it with his left hand for some reason. And they do this joke twice just so that Lenny can then wash Joe's face by accident.
I liked it. I thought it was just a cute little thing.
I thought it was good, but. It was contrived. Has anybody in history ever
washed I've never washed a dish not. With like someone jewel, else. I've only ever washed dishes by myself.
That's true, actually. I don't think I've ever washed a dish with someone either.
No, I've never... If you ever have two people doing the dishes, you've got one person washing it.
Okay, I've never done
that. If you haven't got a dry. Yeah, that's
but can't you just let it dry? I never understood this idea of drying things.
I think it's usually the way I've seen it happen is if there's been a lot of people and there's a lot of dishes, the people who've been cooked for usually go
Here's the thing. True. I've noticed, and our neighbours in New Zealand do this a lot, they don't rinse the dishes. Like, they'll wash them and they'll put them to dry with all the soap and shit on them. And it's a Kiwi thing. I swear to God, it's a Kiwi thing. It is. They do it a lot over there. Yeah.
But doesn't it dry? Doesn't it dry all the suds on it?
Well, of course it would. It'd dry all the shit onto it. You're not supposed to eat those surfactants off the plate.
No, that's how we wash dishes.
Really? What? You're like
you're
a Kiwi.
You're supposed to rinse that shit.
No, but it's...
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, it's fine, man.
It isn't.
Yeah, wash, rinse. That's you're missing the rinse cycle.
Mike.
Wash, rinse, dry.
I just said my family's done that an entire life.
I'm saying what if, like, for instance...
Am I getting poisoned from...
Total hypothetical, the issues with reflux and stuff.
It evaporates, man. It looks sure you might have a bit of...
That stuff doesn't evaporate. The only thing they bond to is water molecules.
Yeah, my
the only thing they bond to is water molecules. I love it.
It's like tomato sauce and shit. You can keep the stuff in the cupboard.
No, but I think it's a little different with surfactants.
You're meant to keep it in the cupboard.
No, it actually says
tomato sauce does. Yeah.
Oh, does it? Whatever it does.
Barbecue sauce doesn't.
So you're right. I do keep it in the fridge.
Interestingly enough.
No, you're meant to keep the barbecue sauce in the fridge. 100%,
sure?
Man. That's way worse than keeping the... 100%,
that's
man.
Like 90%,
that's way worse.
Sugar,
it's fine,
man. It doesn't go bad.
No, man, trust me. Again, that's another thing where it's just... It's one of those things where, sure, it's probably a good idea, but it doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't make a difference.
I don't know.
Now, if we lived in Queensland or something where it's a generally humid environment...
Well, no, then, see, then I would argue it's fine because the humidity
I feel like,
in the
I feel
air,
like we're
aka the water... will actually collect all the
mate,
stuff on the plates.
Mate, I've got this idea in my mind. It's like a scene I'm watching a movie that flash forward, a doctor's talking to me and then it's like, does your friend keep his barbecue sauce in the cupboard instead of the fridge? I'm like, yeah, in the cupboard. Oh, well, that's what killed him. And then just walk off. I'm like, oh, shit, do you want to get a coffee?
Anyway. Do we want to rate the episode?
Exactly. I'll go last this time. Who wants to go first?
I'm happy to go first. Right. I give it a solid 8.5. I liked it.
No halves. I don't believe in the half system.
Well,
8 or 9, give it 1.
I liked it.
Integer.
I thought it was entertaining.
9, okay. Okay, I just wrote that in Swinney's column. Okay, I'll put it into yours. 9. Okay, Swinney.
I give this episode a 10.
Oh!
I cannot count the amount of times I just had to pause it to keep laughing. I loved it so much. And it was a nice, concise storyline that had a couple of little threads that tied into each other. I'm happy to give this a 10.
Yeah. I initially gave it a 9 and then gave it an 8. So it's a very solid 9. Average for this episode. I think this is actually one of the highest that we've had. I think one other was about the same. So, it was an awesome episode. And for me, this episode really validated picking this show to do the podcast. Because just watching this episode and a couple of the other ones, I'm like, they're absolutely insane, funny. I feel like if people were made aware of them, because this generation of people our age, if they'd watched specific episodes... They'd just be like, oh, this is crazy and it's really funny. So
I don't know. Maybe if some crazy people dedicate
that be
hours
good?
A week to reviewing them, maybe they'll finally get out.
Yeah, I think once it's all said and done, I'll put a big chart together with our detailed ratings so that, you know, we can rank the episode and maybe almost have a whole episode about should we re-rank things. But anyway, leave that to another day.
Okay.
Yes.
Uncle Josiah, did you guys look him up?
Nope.
Okay, his name is Peter Gwynn.
Oh, can I introduce this?
Swinney's
credits corner.
Credits
corner. Go
this
ahead, Swinney.
This isn't the credits part.
What the?
I heard that,
I heard like
ooh,
a really
that was,
loud.
That was scary. I live by myself.
My little puppy is scared. What was that? Did you hear that, John?
Know.
That was crazy.
What?
Okay, anyway, go on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I didn't hear anything. It was probably me. I just cracked my toe, but I doubt that was it. It was next to the microphone.
Okay.
Okay, so Peter Gwynn, and he is dead.
Jesus! You could have, like, you know, softened the blow there. Bloody hell.
I tried to say it before, but you cut me
dude,
off. I said
his,
dead, so people might hear it. And
sound.
I'm like, oh. Okay.
That's sad.
So, to be fair, he was... Like, I think he was 91
had a good run.
When he died, so he had a good innings. Yeah.
Well, how old was he when he was in this episode?
Well, I think he died in 2011, so do the math. You're the maths.
Okay. So,
Mathemus scientist.
He's
about 73.
So, he's been in so much stuff, but he's like a character actor. But I just chose a couple of random things I liked out of his IMDb. So, he was in a show called, or a movie or something, called The Magic Pudding.
It sounds very familiar, yeah.
Sounds familiar?
It does, yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Not the porn.
What?
Matt, what is it? Not the Magic Pudding XXX.
Yeah, exactly. That title. That's a genius, but anyway. Sorry, go on.
His character was named Benjamin Brandy Snap.
Right. I thought you were going to say Benjamin Button. Benjamin Brandy Snap.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Now, He was also really early in his career. He was the narrator for a documentary. Now, do you want to know what the documentary was
about?
Planet Earth.
It was about weasels? Irrigation.
Rats? Oh, it's pretty close with weasels. Irrigation.
Okay.
Irrigation.
It's an interesting documentary.
Yeah. Well, he was the narrator. It was like a
government-funded documentary about some infrastructure in Australia or something. Now, you know what show he was also on?
What? The Project.
No. He was on...
Lightline.
That cop show that I don't know.
I know. Probably on a lot of it.
Blue Healers.
He was on a lot of...
Neighbours?
Yes, he was on a country
practice. Full House.
Flying Doctors.
Full House.
He was on Flying Doctors. He was flying...
Cosby Show.
Okay, all right. Okay. On that note, you know what show he was on?
Wait.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, we said it at the same time.
Oh, no. Terrible.
Now, you're so grown up.
Exactly. He's the dodgy uncle.
I got to say, like, this guy... No, sorry. Let me just clarify. This guy seemed like he was a very well-respected character.
You just assassinated the dead man's character. It's terrible.
No, but, you know, if anyone listens to this,
Alright, let's be real. Who's going to get in 1 hour and 50 minutes into this episode?
I don't know.
All right,
maybe
go on,
ghosts listen to the podcast?
True, that's true.
Okay, now, Monkey Boy. Yo. I've got some other stuff to talk about, but I think this episode's gone long enough. So.
No, what are we going to talk about? We've made it this far.
We're not going back,
baby. Climb the mountain.
Oh, You really want to keep going?
Well, if it's to do with this episode, we have to cover it off, right? We're never coming back to this, right?
No, it's got nothing to do with this episode.
Okay,
we'll cover
okay. If you can get it to the next one, that's okay.
What I do have, though, is I sent you a clip. And can you please roll that and maybe...
Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe we can...
I got that.
That one. Maybe we can finish the episode on this. I don't know.
That's terrible. Oh,
yeah. Do you guys have anything else to talk about before we close off?
No.
Clip, maybe?
All right. All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play it.
Okay.
Can I just play it, or do you want to intro it?
Yeah, play it.
No, you can play it. It's short.
So black music or rap music?
That's awesome. That's awesome. The last bit. What the hell?
I was hoping that it... Sorry, can you play it again?
Can I play the last bit again?
Yeah, right. Go play it.
Black music.
Who is that? Is that you slowed down or something? What is that?
No, that's highly slowed down.
Oh, okay.
So one thing I'll say is that earlier in the episode, we mentioned that Kylie's probably the worst character.
Yeah,
right?
Agree.
Or easily the worst character out of the recurring cast. I feel that contribution alone justifies her
character. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. If I was to put three bullet points together for the Ferrells podcast so far, I'd say... Black music is the first bullet point. Because I'm telling you, it's black music. We actually played a clip from that episode when I think about it.
It's rap 15 music. Seconds.
Nah, I'll never believe that. I need to ask the actual person.
Play it.
Do you want to extend this more? Okay. So I think I think we've almost covered everything in this episode.
I think we probably transcripted the entire episode.
That would have been faster. I think we've gone for four times longer than the actual episode runs for.
It's like the Mr. Plinkett reviews from Red Letter Media.
It's true. We could have played the entire episode and talked through it and paused it, and it would have been faster. But anyway,
twice.
So join us next week for episode 14, April Fools. But for now, it's goodbye.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.